Please be seated. God's grace and peace be with you as we gather for worship today. Always a pleasure to share God's word with you. There are two places in the gospel readings where we find the Lord's Prayer. One of them, of course, is today's reading from the Gospel of St. Luke. For we hear as Jesus' disciples to ask the Lord to teach them to pray as John taught his disciples. And when we hear that question, Jesus responds, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial." Were we to find a rather similar reading in the Gospel of St. Matthew, we would hear this version of what we now understand to be the Lord's Prayer. Jesus tells his disciples in chapter 6 of Matthew, "Pray then this way, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." And so we have two versions of the same prayer. In many ways, the prayer that we pray, certainly every Sunday, and hopefully every day as we pray to the Lord, is a consolidation, if you want to call it that, of the two versions. And what is called a doxology. And the doxology portion of the Lord's Prayer is, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." This doxology or praise is something that kind of shows itself by about the 4th century. And so early Christians had added this or believed it was necessary in this prayer by as early as the 4th century. It may be even more ancient than this. Some different versions have this as part of the Gospel of St. Matthew, some don't. In any case, by the time we're at the 4th century, for the most part, the Lord's Prayer, as we know it and pray it, had already taken its shape. And so we continue praying that prayer even today. In many ways, I think kind of the message of the Lord's Prayer really begins in Matthew's version, where we hear it begins, "Our Father in heaven." The word for Father is not a formal name, but here a more personal name. Some Bible commentators have gone as far as to say it's even as close as Daddy. And so where formal prayers begin with the Almighty Creator, Eternal God, we begin by calling God in the most personal of terms to hear our prayer. When I was going to school so many years ago, we were taught how to write formal letters, and the salutation was an important part of that formal letter. It not only identified who the letter was to go to, but it identified the relationship you had with that person. And so it was not just dear so-and-so, but it might be dear uncle so-and-so, or it might be honorable judge so-and-so. And so therefore the salutation, the greeting, was an important part of that letter. For me, as I hear this morning's gospel, I think it's good for us to focus on how God is called by Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus says, "When you talk to my Father, this is how you should talk to him. Call him our Father." I think that's incredible. You can go through a variety of religions where people pray regularly and not find a religion where God is called our Father, where God is couched in such intimate terms. Indeed, the Lord's Prayer is a communal prayer. It's not just my Father. You're not just praying to your Father, but you're praying to the Father of us all. It is certainly an appropriate corporate prayer, but it helps us remember that God is not just your spiritual Father, but all of his children's fathers also, your brother and sister in Christ.
as well as perhaps your neighbor and all those made in the image and likeness of God, our Father. The intimacy of this prayer always floors me because it is an intimate prayer. It speaks of a relationship with God which seems wholly inappropriate for one who is the most powerful divine being in existence. Certainly to say almighty or everlasting or eternal or creator or all-knowing or omnipotent would be entirely appropriate in a prayer, but to simply begin by saying our Father is a way of drawing, is a way of acknowledging, is a way of believing that God is intimate to us as well as powerful. It's interesting. I came across an article recently from a Christian teacher who was teaching world religions to students in Saudi Arabia. These were Muslim students. And she found that as she told the students about different religions, they began to identify with different understandings of other religions. They began to take a certain amount of enjoyment out of hearing the stories of Buddha and of the Hindu religion, the different god stories that were part of that particular religion. And that was interesting to them, and they found it was curious to hear those stories. And then she told them about Judaism, and they found a hard time understanding how a God who appears in their scriptures could be argued with and talked to as the people, as the Jewish believers talked to their God. Indeed, we heard in our first reading how Abraham suggests that God be merciful to those people in Sodom and Gomorrah who are not wicked, who are not hurtful and destructive people. Will you destroy the city if there are only 50 who are righteous, if there are only 45, if there are only 30, 20, 10? Reminding God that if God is righteous, he cannot engage in what we call in warfare collateral damage. He cannot kill the innocent with the wicked. The Muslim students had a hard time understanding a dialogue with God, the intimacy of arguing perhaps with God or mediating or discussing such a thing. Literally, the story of Job was incredible for them to understand and hear how Job could talk about his fate with God and how God might answer him. Finally, of course, the teacher talked about Christianity to the Muslim students, and they were somewhat aware of Christianity, but the idea of God come in the flesh was beyond their understanding, because in their understanding, God was a distant God, a righteous God, a God who destroyed the wicked and favored the righteous, and a God who could come in the flesh and be killed for the unrighteous, for the wicked, was hard for them to grasp. It was hard for them to understand. I think we have a unique religion. I think we have a unique God. I think the relationship that God wants us to have with him is a unique relationship. Because God wants us to honor him as almighty, yet know him in the most personal terms. And when you think about it, every time you talk to God is a prayer. I think sometimes we think we need formal prayers. We need something written on a piece of paper, which we read, instead of a conversation with a loving God. A God revealed to us through Jesus Christ in the most intimate terms. I think about St. Thomas, who doubted our Lord's resurrection until our Lord invited him to stick his fingers in the nail marks in his hands and put his hand at his side. It doesn't get more intimate than that. A God who welcomes us to see and feel his wounds so that we may believe. God wants an intimate relationship with each and every one of you. God wants to hear your problems, know your joys, and share in both of them. God hears our prayers. He may not always answer them as we would like, but he hears them and does act on them. perhaps not as quickly as we would like, perhaps not in the way that we would like. But God's way of doing things are certainly far different from our ways. He has resources, he has understandings, he has a wisdom that we can never master. My hope for us is that we teach our young people the Lord's Prayer. It has become more evident to me in recent years that there are young people who don't even know the Lord's Prayer. They just don't know it. Their grandparents prayed it regularly. Their parents might pray it at a funeral or perhaps a wedding or whenever they come into church. But the children have forgotten it because they have never really learned it. They've heard pieces of it at times, but they don't appreciate it. The Lord's Prayer is an important prayer because it talks about our relationship with God and our need to forgive as God forgives. And to be in close relationship with God, not just when we are in church, but in every moment of our lives. My hope for us is that we can take that prayer and live it out in our lives, recognizing that God does bless us each day with daily bread, and that we can depend on God to bless us, and that we should share that excessive bread that we might have, our gifts, our time, our talent, our treasures, with those around us who may yet be in need. We are very fortunate people, especially in this country. We should be able to forgive as we have been forgiven and to share what we have in abundance so that no one is in need. We should be able to do that. May God strengthen us in our faith. May God build us up so that we might be models of faith for those around us. May God encourage us to share our faith with others, especially among those who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and have the promise of forgiveness and eternal life. And may God help us to enjoy this life that He has given to us, all of the blessings, all of the good things, and this good fellowship that He has given us here in this congregation and throughout the world with all those made in the image of our Lord and Savior. God bless us and help us to be a blessing to others. Amen.